As we come now to this portion of Luke's gospel, you in the age in which we live in, you've anticipated all these things. Amazing. God, you're so good. Let that fact alone, as we go through this study, be just a harbinger to all those that may be doubting today, saying, God, are you real? Are you really there? Do you really care that, Lord, you would speak just by the very, very nature of your timing? You're never late. You're never early. You're always on time in every way, shape, and form. And we thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles this morning then and turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, and we are in verse 20 to verse 30 this morning. Luke 17, verses 20 to 30 in our study together. The title of the message this morning is, in fact, it's a two-part message, and it's entitled, Is the Kingdom of God Near? Is the Kingdom of God Near? That's the question that they were asking in Luke 17, verses 20 to 30. Look at it with me, verse 20. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Then he said to his disciples, different group of people, I might add, the days, the word means times or age or years, will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. He's talking about the second coming. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. That is, when Jesus comes back, it's going to mimic the days of the times of Noah. Look at the verse 27. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28, likewise, that is in the same manner, just like that sudden event, though there was much warning, I might add. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, verse 30, it will be in that day when the Son of Man is revealed. Jesus, you know, he's close to the cross. He's closer to Jerusalem now for what will be his final earthly visit to Jerusalem before he suffers on the cross. And the Pharisees ask him a question, and Jesus uses that moment, he uses that opportunity to teach. Jesus always did that. And church, can I add something? Will you just make a mental note of this? Whatever's going on in your life and my life, we talked about that last week. Whatever's going on in our lives, you and I need to discipline ourselves to stop and think and ask, Lord, what is it you're speaking to me right now in this event? We covered that last week, especially in the light of the fires. God, what are you speaking? What are you saying? You know all about these things. What is going on? Lord, speak to me. And the Pharisees asked the question. Now, by way of introduction to this, the Pharisees had a perspective, and it was this. They were looking for the reestablishment of the kingdom of God. That is, when Israel would rule the world like it did under the reign of King David or Solomon. The Pharisees were looking for a very, very messianic period in that their government would rule the world. And that's never going to happen, by the way. It's not going to happen. Hitler tried. Other kingdoms have tried. America's not going to rule the world. I think that's pretty self-evident now, huh? Right? No government will ever rule the world. There will be attempts for governments to rule the world. They will all fail, including the Antichrist, by the way. His attempt to rule the world will fail. There is one coming who, when he returns, he comes out of heaven, by the way, and he does return. It will be his second coming. and he will establish his kingdom. And the Bible says, Jerusalem will engulf the entire world. That person is none other than Jesus Christ. And it is the second coming. But the Pharisees were expecting their kingdom to be established now. Then there was the perspective, number two, of the Jews themselves. The Jews wanted the occupation of Rome to be thrown over, or to be outcast, or to be lifted. They, and I don't blame them, despised the presence of the Roman Empire. And so many of the Jews looked for a coming Messiah that would deliver them from political tyranny. But there's also a third perspective, and that is of the common man, the people. They wanted to know peace. They wanted to know freedom, justice, and love. That's why when the gospel announces in the opening throes of the New Testament that Jesus speaks and he says, "Behold, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach," remember, "to deliver, to set at liberty," he was announcing the very aspects of the kingdom. Was the kingdom near? That's what the Pharisees were asking. By the way, you cannot ask that question without stepping right in or onto holy ground. You say, "What do you mean, Pastor?" If you and I today, by the way, everybody mocks the Bible. Everybody makes fun of the Bible until there's some big cataclysmic event, and then everybody turns to the Bible. Everybody went, "Well, what does the Bible have to say?" And you mark my words, it's coming up again. There's going to be a war soon in the Middle East. It's going to be with Israel and its neighbors. It's going to be a big one. It's going to be a big deal. You're going to wake up some morning and it's going to be underway. And all of the channels, are you listening, everyone? All of the channels, including godless CNN, will have people like Joel Rosenberg or Mark Hitchcock or Tim LaHaye on TV, and they're going to be saying, asking, "Is this the end of the world? Is this the Battle of Armageddon?" Trust me, it happens every time. They don't believe in the Bible until something serious happens. Then they all run to the Bible. I like that. I do. Why? Because people automatically assume, what does the Bible have to say about that? And it's for good reason. 27% of the Bible, 27% of your Bible, more than a quarter of your Bible, is dealing with future events. 82% of that 27% have already been fulfilled in history. That's an amazing thing. And what remains predominantly are prophecies regarding the Great Tribulation period to come. Jesus is speaking about a time of tribulation and difficulty that people are to know about. In Amos chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, Amos 3:7, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets." What does that mean? That your Bible is the newspaper of tomorrow. You say, "Pastor Jack, I don't like Bible prophecy. It scares me." Number one, that's really strange that it should scare you, because God gave it and said, "I've given it to you that it might comfort you." Why are you scared if you hear about, when God says this is what's going to happen in the future, why do you get nervous about that? The Christian goes, "Yeah, bring it on." I mean, Jesus said, and we'll hear about it more in a moment, that when you see these things begin to happen, look up, he said, your redemption draws near. Get excited about it. I said, "Jack, you realize what's going on in the world? Everything's going crazy. General Motors and the housing industry and the global economy." Jesus said, "Look up. Your redemption draws near." "Well, what if he doesn't come before my house is repossessed?" "Look up." Jesus said, in this world, we're going to have difficulty. By the way, personally, we were on the phone this week to someone who's having troubles far in a distant state. Big troubles. So what are you calling us for? "Because we don't know anybody else." So wait a minute, do you go to church in your town? "No." "Well, why don't you go to church in your town? You need to go to a church." Answer, "There's no churches to our liking." Let me tell you something. I'm not even sure if Jesus likes the church much. I mean, it's always hurting his feelings. It's always disobeying him. It's messing things up. I mean, as much as we try, we goof up. But he loves us. And if you're trying to find a perfect church, it's just not going to happen. But go to a church. Why are you saying that? Because times will come when you and I will need one another's love, care, support. Oh, believe me, it's coming. Get to church. Hey, if you're listening right now, wherever you live, get to church.
"Well, I don't like that church that's near my house."
Find a church that teaches the Bible and get into it. and go for it. If you don't like it, then change the church. Be like Jesus. That'll change the church. Be like Jesus. Start to influence people. John 13, 19 says, as I spoke a moment ago, Jesus said, "Now I tell you before it comes to pass." Listen, John 13, 19. "That when it does come to pass, you may believe that I..." Listen, "you may believe that I am." He said, "that you may believe ego eimi." This is an amazing statement. Jesus said, "I'm telling you in advance, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will turn to me and know ego eimi." Say, what are you saying? I am that I am. Does that ring a bell? Jesus Christ, the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, God's prophets speak the future. The promise of our salvation, that is a prophetic announcement. God's promises are prophetic. And that's why the Bible and Bible prophecies to bring comfort. And Jesus is going to be speaking comfort to his believers and to those that are in the audience. It's an amazing thing to realize, church. I'm so excited to announce this. I get every chance I get, I want to say this. That when we talk about future events, the Christian ought to just get very excited, because what you and I believe, listen, when somebody says, "Oh, you funny Christians, you guys just take this blind leap of faith into nowhere land." Excuse me, it's quite the opposite. Our faith is founded upon fact. The more you study the Bible, the more you're impressed with what God has said and what God has done. And based upon what he's done, because he said it, he's going to do everything he has said regarding the future. That's our God. He cannot lie. It's amazing and it is awesome. The Bible says in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, "Do not forget these former things," he says, "throughout history, for I am God, I alone am God, and there is none like me. Only I can tell you what is going to happen before it happens. Everything I've planned to come to pass will do so, and I will do whatever I please." Signed, the Lord. I love that. Listen, Buddha never prophesied about the future. Muhammad never prophesied about the future. There are people who prophesy, but their prophecies are wrong. The Bible is 100% accurate in its prophecies. And that should cause us to sit up and take close attention to what Jesus is saying. First point, is the kingdom of God near? I say yes, my friend, and here's one of the reasons why. Verses 20 to 21, note it. It's the kingdom in conflict. It's the kingdom in conflict. Is the kingdom of God near? Well, first of all, yes, I believe it is, because it is a kingdom, the kingdom in conflict. How so? God's kingdom is of a spiritual realm. God's kingdom is of a spiritual realm. Verse 20, "And when he was asked by the Pharisees," they said this, "when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation." Jesus is saying that it's not going to show up on an airplane and land with a motorcade and look out the window and wave with flags and banners. A band is not going to strike up as a leader comes out and says, "God bless America." Jesus says it's not going to happen like that. It's not going to happen with even trying to place him on a donkey or a horse and say, "Here's the kingdom." He said, "No, it's not going to happen that way." That's not what he's talking about. He says it does not come with observation. We'll explain that in a moment. He's telling the listeners that the kingdom of God is a spiritual, or has a spiritual aspect to it. And you need to understand that. You say, "Well, Jack, isn't the kingdom of God going to be a literal physical kingdom?" Yes, it will be. But it first begins in a spiritual sense. Understand this. John 4, 24. Jesus says, "God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Did you guys know that? I know you know that. I'm just saying. Did you know that God's not a human? It was a big deal for him to become a human. Understand that. God is not a really old man with a lot of time, and he's been around a long time, a lot of experience. That's not God. God is spirit. You want to talk about a miracle? The greatest miracle that has ever been or ever will be is that God allowed himself to be contained in human skin for 33 and a quarter years His name's Jesus Christ. God revealed himself to mankind and he put on a human suit and lived among us to reveal the very heart, love, devotion that God has for his creation that's gone bad, that's gone wild and left him in sin. In the Old Testament, by the way, King David desired to bless God, the God of heaven, by building God a house. You've all read that. David said, God, I want to build you a house. And 1 Chronicles 17:4 says, God speaks, go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, listen, church, you shall not build me a house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought up Israel even to this day, but I have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to the other. This is God speaking. 1 Chronicles 17:6. Wherever I have moved about with all of Israel, Have I ever spoken a word to any of the judges of Israel whom I've commanded to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedars? Has God ever said, can you guys build me a house so I can have a place to hang out in? He doesn't need a house. This building's for us right here, right now. God doesn't need this building. Jesus did most of his teaching either near a boat or on a seashore, on a hillside. God doesn't need a building. His kingdom is of a spiritual realm. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, the Bible says, for our gospel, if it's veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. That is, there are people who cannot hear or understand the word of God. Why is that the case? Whose minds the God of this age have blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine forth to them. It's a spiritual realm. God does not dwell in houses made with human hands. When Paul warned the church at Corinth that there are those who can see what God is doing and those who cannot see, why is that so valuable to us? Because it is of a spiritual nature. To those who don't understand the gospel, it's not that they're uneducated. It's not that they're somehow deficient. The Bible warns us that another spiritual power that's in conflict with the kingdom of God is fighting against them. The Bible warns us over and over again that you and I are fighting against demonic powers in this age. We're not fighting against nuclear weapons. Those are little things compared to what the spiritual realm is all about. In your own life and in my life, those of us who are Christians, why are things the way that they are? What's going on? Look to God and the spiritual understanding. Because you're a Christian, there's this conflict of your life in this world, and that's going to happen. There's a spiritual conflict. I'll just give you the reference and paraphrase it. You can look at it later. 1 John 4, verses 1 to 3, warns us that in the last days, don't believe every spirit, every message you hear. Don't believe it. Judge it according to the Bible. Well, did you hear this guy on TV? Did you hear this guy on radio? My friend was sharing with me. Or we met this guy who said, hey, pull out your Bible and judge what they're saying about spiritual matters. You'll never fall for the cult that knocks on your door if you know your Bible. You won't get tripped up if you understand that. That there's spiritual realms and kingdoms warring. And God's kingdom is of a spiritual realm. Second thing under this point is this. It's the kingdom in conflict on a personal nature. Verse 21 says, nor will they say here or there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Now you ought to mark that down. Scholars argue back and forth about what this means. And some of your newer translations have maybe put it this way. That indeed the kingdom of God is near you or among you or before you, in front of you. About you. When the Bible says that the kingdom of God is within you, Jesus is not saying that these unbelieving Pharisees had the kingdom of God in them. They didn't believe in him. By the way, Jesus Christ standing there, he was the president, the monarch, the king of that kingdom. And by the way, his apostles were his cabinet, so to speak. The kingdom was there. Wherever Jesus is, my friend, the kingdom is there. Keep that in mind. Very important. So when he said that the kingdom of God is within you, The word can also be translated, and this is where the Greek scholars argue back and forth. Does it mean that the kingdom of God dwells within everybody? I think that's a no. But does Jesus mean that the kingdom of God is standing before you? You can reach out and you can touch it. It's within your reach to grab the kingdom of God. And I'm wondering if that's true for your life right now this morning. Are you going to heaven? Do you know Christ? You say, I don't know. Then reach out and grab the kingdom. The kingdom is near you this morning. Regarding unbelief, by the way, listen to this. Very important. In Luke 10, verse 11, Jesus said, when you go into a city that does not receive the gospel, will not listen to the good news, that the kingdom of God has come near to them. What did he say? Take your shoes and do what? Knock the dust off of that city from your shoes. Because unless that city repents, they're doomed for judgment. Why? They weren't open. He says there, the kingdom of God has come near them, within the reach of salvation. The Lord had promised this personal experience, this relationship way back in the Old Testament, that when the kingdom of God comes near, you could reach out and grab it. You can have it. You can know today that you're going to go to heaven. It's so sad today. The church is so weak because so few believers enjoy and revel in the fact that they understand that they're going to go to heaven. Do you realize that if you believe the promises of God, just this we don't even need second service and third service. Don't tell them that, but we won't need them. We won't need them. You want to know why? We will leave this place radicalized. Radicalized? That's a scary word, Jack. I know. Because you hear like radicalized Islam is terrorism. You know what I'd love to see? Radicalized Christians. What does that look like? I don't know if you say that too loud. Oh, yeah. Radicalized Christians. Why? Because if we obey Jesus to the law, to the letter, we're going to go out and love people like we have never loved before. We are going to stand for the truth. We are going to be on fire, as we say, for Christ. Radicalized Christians should be normal Christianity today. I'm going to go pray. Good. That's what we should normally be doing. Husbands, I'm going to go pray with my wife. You should have been doing that all along anyway. That's normal. You know what? I had a radical thought. I'm going to go pray for my kids. That's normal. What's radicalized is going beyond the norm. And the world needs the love of God today. Boy, I tell you, the world is upset and angry today. But the Bible says that the kingdom of God can come near to them. Is the kingdom of God near you? In the Old Testament, God spoke of this prophetically. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put my spirit in you. I will take the heart of stone which is in you and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and you'll do them. You can never obey God. My friend, listen, you'll never be able to follow Jesus Christ. It's impossible. Unless the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and then you will. You can't do it. In fact, if you try without the Holy Spirit, if you try to be religious without being saved, you become a legalist. A self-righteous Pharisee legalist. You have no power to do what you know is right, but you can't do it. John 20, I love this. John 20, 21, Jesus said to them, by the way, this is after his resurrection, but before his ascension to heaven, Jesus said to the apostles, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Any scholars, Bible students in here, anybody loving the Word of God to study it? John 20, 22 is the first born again event recorded in the Bible. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, and its first fulfillment was in John 20, 22. Where were men and women born again for the first time? John 20, 22. They believed, but after Jesus rose again from the dead, the moment he breathed on them, that moment the Holy Spirit stamped them, sealed them, empowered them for eternity. 1 Corinthians 3:16. You say, Jack, why are you telling me this stuff? Because remember, I challenged this thought about God not dwelling in a building. It's a kingdom that is spiritual. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Paul said, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you? Now we're getting close to the kinds of dwellings that God lives in. They're not made with metal and concrete. 1 Peter 2:5 says that we are living stones being built up together as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up, listen, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual realm. Jesus is the kingdom of God. It's not going to be like, oh, there, it's over there, or here it is right here. He says it doesn't come with observation. It's near you. Will you grab it? And there may be somebody in here today that needs to grab the kingdom. You've been dancing all around it. You've been flirting with it. You've been thinking that you got close to it. You did a little drive-by. You drove by the church. Praise the Lord. You can even come into the church and say, Jack, I came in here. Okay, that's nice. You're not going to heaven because you've come to church. What? Oh, you mean to say, Pastor Jack, I'm going to go to heaven because I put $5 in the offering, right? No. You want more? No. You want to put some zeros on the end of the $5? No. You can't go to heaven that way. What do you want me to do? You want me to walk Grandma across the street and get my Eagle Scout pin? Then do I go to heaven? No. You have to open your heart and let the kingdom in. Well, how do I let the kingdom in? You can't have a kingdom in you without a king. You got to have a king. It's of a personal nature. Salvation's personal. Also, thirdly, under this point, it's the kingdom in conflict. God's kingdom is not of this world. Jesus said that the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say here or there, for indeed the kingdom of God is near you. Jesus said in John 8:23, I am not of this world. Right when every time I say that and I think of it in my mind, I want to hear the theme song to like the X-Files. Or some, do you remember My Favorite Martian? Man, this church is getting old. If you remember My Favorite Martian, we need to get some young people in here. It's all, Jesus says, I'm not of this world. Ooh! You want to talk about absolute, someone who's not of this world? Jesus says, I'm not from here. Oh, I love that. I'm not from here. My kingdom is not of this world. John 18:36, Jesus answered and said to Pontius Pilate, remember when Pilate said, are you king of the Jews? Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. Wow, mark that down. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. That means we'd establish a capital. Knock Rome out and take over the world. He said, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. And I'm very happy about that. John 17:13, Jesus said this, but now, and he's praying, by the way, to his Father. But now I come to you, Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word. He's talking about his disciples. And the world has hated them because they are not of this world. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands quickly. Look at you. You bunch of weirdos. You're not from this world. You don't belong here anymore. And can you feel it every day more and more? I mean, I was speaking up Central California yesterday, and I asked these guys, don't you feel like you're not of this world anymore? And you should have seen all these men from 16 years old to 80 years old. Yep, don't feel like I belong here anymore. I don't feel like I belong here anymore. Turn on the TV, you read stuff. What is this? Is this world not gone nuts? Don't you just want to say, you can have this place. I mean, I know I can't act like that, you know? I got to be a pastor and all that kind of stuff. Be a Christian. But it's kind of like, you want to do this? You want this? Is this what you want? You can have it and watch where it goes. But, you know, I can't do that. Jesus said that we're not of this world. And I love that. It's incredible. Point number two this morning, is the kingdom of God near? That's the question. Is it near? Verses 22 to 25. It's the kingdom that's coming. Friends, listen, it's the kingdom that's coming. His kingdom is coming. We pray, thy kingdom come. His kingdom's coming. Verse 22, this way, it's a kingdom longed for. Oh, every believer in here knows that. We long for it to come. Then he said to his disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. Jesus is saying, the day's going to come when you wish I were here again. You're going to look over the future, in the future in your life, you're going to look back from those days that are ahead of you. You're going to look back to these times and you're going to say, man, I wish Jesus was back. He says, guess what? You're not going to see it. Verse 23, and they will say to you, there's going to be people lying to you. What's the lie that they're going to say? Hey, look over there. There's the answer. Look over here. There's the answer. He says, do not go after them or follow them. The kingdom, Jesus said, is a kingdom that's coming. Basically, he's saying, hey, Christians, there's going to come a time when this world's coming apart at the seams, and you're going to wish that I were here. And you and I can all say amen to that. By the way, do you want to know something? Do you want to know the last prayer recorded in the Bible? This is awesome, and you should mark it down. You want to be biblical? You want to love Bible prophecy? Here's the reason why. Bible prophecy announces to us the last prayer found in the Bible. It's Revelation 22, 20. And this should be all of our prayers. This should be right there. Revelation 22, 20. He who testifies to these things says, quote, surely I am coming quickly, close quote. Then John says, the author of the book of Revelation, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Last prayer of the Bible. What is it? I need more money. No. Last prayer of the Bible. God, fix my retirement. Nope, ain't going to happen. Last prayer of the Bible. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh. The Bible says in Luke 21, 28, now when these things begin to happen, when you look around the world and you see the world becoming unhinged, look up, lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. The kingdom of God is near, Jesus says. Also this, it's a kingdom that will be obvious. In the second coming, church, do I have your attention? I need your undivided attention on this. This portion of Scripture, Jesus is not, even next week's message, in part two, he is not talking about the rapture. He's talking about the second coming. And when the second coming happens, when Christ returns and his foot touches this earth, in the rapture, his foot does not touch this earth. And the second coming, his toe hits the Mount of Olives, the Bible says. In the Old Testament, it says that when his foot hits the Mount of Olives, there's going to be an earthquake and it's going to split open. That is awesome. I like earthquakes as long as nobody gets hurt. You know? So, Pastor, don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. Aren't we due for one? I mean, I know we just had one 4 months ago, but it was a little wimpy thing. Where's the big one? Flew over the San Andreas Fault yesterday. You can see it, you know, from the air. You can see it. You can look at it. And there's houses on it. Hello! Where do you want to build your house, honey? Right on the fault. And then that's one thing. But you know our aqueduct that we need to live, the water? Guess what our state did? Where are we going to build that thing? We got to get water from Northern California to Southern California. I got an idea. Let's not just cross over you got to cross over it to get the water. You got to cross over the San Andreas Fault. Oh, no, no, no. Let's just run it right down alongside it for miles so that when the big one hits, we ain't got no water. It's absolutely spectacular. I mean, you got to go to school to think like that. The kingdom's coming, and Jesus said it's going to be obvious. Revelation 1:7, behold, he says, look, open your eyes concerning the second coming. He's coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. By the way, do you know what's in the mindset? It's not said clearly, but the intent means in the Greek, when every eye will see him. You say, well, what is that? You mean every eye when he comes back, those eyes? Yes, it means that. Of course it means that. But it hints that every eye that has ever been will see his coming somehow. Will people in hell have a flat screen, plasma screen, LCD? There he comes. Heaven will observe it. Will those long dead observe it? Possibly, but we know this. Every person on earth in the second coming, every person on earth will see the Lord's return, even those who pierced him. See how that, look at that verse. Don't look at me. Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn. That's a bad word. They will weep because of his coming. The second coming is absolutely terrifying. The rapture is glorious. The second coming is terrifying. Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, that 7-year period of time, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. That'll freak you out. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. The sky will vibrate. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the atmosphere. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. People will begin going, just realizing they made a big mistake. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven and with great power and great glory. Great glory. I'm sure Greg Laurie is going to be there with them. But, but great glory, myself, you, and Greg Laurie. He's coming. It's going to be obvious. The rapture is something that's not obvious. The second coming is obvious. Jesus is speaking about the kingdom coming. It's coming near you now. Every time you listen to the Bible, every time you open up the Bible, God is speaking to you. Every moment of your life, God is speaking. The kingdom is near you. Have you taken it into your life? Do you have a king enthroned in your life? Then ultimately, the kingdom will come. Oh, and he's going to establish it on earth. The Bible says, for what the Greek word is, millennia, will be for 1,000 years. Also this, it's a kingdom that must be purchased. Jesus said, but first he must, mark it, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. The kingdom is coming. Yes, it is near you now, but first things first, I must die on the cross for the sins of the world. You guys, it would have been disastrous for Jesus to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem without going to the cross. Because we would have had a really great government in the earth, and then when we died, we all would have gone to hell. No government can keep you out of hell. Oh, Jack, where have you been? Barack Obama's been elected. That lady came out of the booth. Did you see her on CNN? She came out of the booth, and the guy asked her, who'd you vote for? She said, Barack Obama. And the guy said, how come? And she said, because I don't have to worry about... Did you see it? You can watch it on TV. You can watch it on YouTube. Because I don't have to pay my mortgage. I won't have to worry about gasoline prices. And I won't have to worry about welfare. That's on the internet. Posted. Listen. He ran on a platform of change. I would not want to be him. In all of the world, nobody, anybody but him. Because, man, the pressure's on. He's got to bring it down. And here's the thing. Even when the Antichrist comes, he ain't going to be able to bring it down. There is no earthly kingdom that can fulfill your need. Because even if you lived in the most wonderful place on the planet, what should it profit a man, Jesus said, if you gain the whole world? Imagine. And lose your own soul. You must have a kingdom, the kingdom in you. But Pastor Jack, I'm an American, of course. All Americans are Christians. Thank God that myth now is, don't you think it's completely, totally over? People who actually even thought that in the first place were interesting people. But to think, I'm an American, of course I'm a Christian. I was born in America. Oh boy. The kingdom must be purchased. John 1:10 says this. John chapter 1 verse 10 says, he was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came unto his own, that's the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, but his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. That could be you if you open up your heart to the kingdom of God. It was purchased. Third and final point. We're going to go quick. I got 3 minutes. It's the kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God near? Listen, it's the kingdom of God we're talking about. Jesus says this, verse 26. It's a kingdom, mark it, of righteousness. Only the Christian longs for righteousness. Have you been to court lately? You know any attorneys? Are you battling something legally? God help you. I think only God can help us. Our system's broke, corrupt, it's overrated. Believe me, you are absolutely guilty until you have enough money to prove your innocence. And that's a fact. And don't think for a moment that the law is on your side because you're innocent. Because there's some people that will twist the law and have you condemned. Righteousness is coming with the kingdom of God. Verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah. Example? No righteousness. So it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives. All common stuff, normal things. They were given in marriage. People got married until, note it, the day. You know what it means? They didn't believe. How long did it take Noah to build the boat? How long? 120 years. They're like, what is that? It's an ark. For what? A flood's coming. Oh, what a weirdo. Crazy Noah. And they bought, they sold, they got married, they planted, they did all the stuff. They did. Hey, have you seen that? Have you seen that guy down at the end of the street in his driveway? He's building this huge boat. What a funny guy. And they'd make fun of Noah. He preached the gospel, the Bible says, for 120 years. And they're laughing at him. And the Bible says, by the way, the Lord watered the earth from the ground up. You know it's called dew? He watered the earth. It had not rained prior to the flood. Hey, Noah, what a weirdo. Come on, everybody. Maybe it was a Saturday. They had the day off. Let's go down to the end of the street and make fun of that Noah guy. They're all laughing. All these animals start walking into the boat. Well, that's kind of weird. Don't you think that's weird? Well, we're not going to miss two of every kind. Who cares about that? They all go in there. Birds are flying in there. And all of a sudden, listen, a few days before it started to rain, supernaturally, the door began to close. The Bible says God shut the door. Can you imagine that? Hey, Fred, did you see that? Anyway, they went about buying and selling, living, doing Laker games, going to the duck thing, going to all the stuff they did, farming. And then clouds began to form. The door's already closed. What are those clouds? It's starting to rain. What is that? What's rain? It starts to pour. And they were swept away. Can you imagine people clawing on the ark trying to get into that door when the floods began to come? You say, Jack, I don't like this message. I didn't write the book. God says there's going to come a day. Jesus is speaking about it right here, right now. You know what? There's going to be a day when the game is over. Because his kingdom is a righteous kingdom. In Genesis 6, verse 5, the Bible says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of his thoughts and of his heart was evil continually. Translation, Jerry Springer program. Translation, soap operas. Translation, basically radio, TV, people everywhere, unbelievably sickening, dirty all the time, filthy. God said, you know, I've had enough. Their hearts and their minds think nasty all the time. Genesis 6:11 goes on to say, and the earth was also corrupt before God. And the video, look at the video. This is just last week in Los Angeles. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was so corrupt that all flesh had corrupted their way. Any scientists, researchers, go look what that means. Flesh had become corrupt, polluted within itself. And God said to Noah, the end of all things is near, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy the earth. You guys, we're going to go really quick because I need to finish this off. I know you hear the bells. When Jesus Christ returns, my friend, it's going to be a radical time. Jesus warns about it. He said it's going to be a violent time. Can you just look to the screens? You guys, we'll pick up the pace. Check. We have 7 slides we want to show you right here. Just look at this very quickly. By the way, note the date. The first ones up front are all on the same day, a couple of days ago. Blast kills 1, wounds 28 in Thailand.
violence breaking out in a tremendous way. Next slide, go. Thai police brace for violence at Sunday rally. That's today. Keep going. Top official meets rioters as China seeks stability. People are rioting. People are going, the world's coming unhinged. Next slide. Racist violence flares in Central and Eastern Europe. A lot of the stuff we're not aware of. BBC News, you can see it better than I can. Riots in Paris, this is last year. Riots in Paris, suburbs replayed. Next. Suspected anarchist burns cars outside Athens police station. Anarchy's rising in the world. Law enforcement is documenting the rise of anarchy in the world. Next. This is nothing new to us. I think this is a European photo, but it looked like Los Angeles last week. Seriously, not kidding. Acts 17:31 says that God will come back. Jesus is coming back to judge the world in righteousness. It's the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of holiness, my friend. You can't be a Christian and live an unholy life. You can't, listen, you can't raise your arms in here on Sunday morning and praise the Lord and then draw your line of cocaine and live on external things for your peace and comfort the rest of the week. You're unholy. You're playing a game. It's not real. You can't do that. You can't be, the Bible says, you are holy because I am holy, God says, so be holy. And you can't be a Christian pornographer. You can't be a Christian pedophile. You can't be a Christian bank robber. He's coming back, and he's coming back in holiness. Likewise, look at verse 28. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. In the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold. What do they say? They did what they always did. Look at verse 29. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, as soon as you hear the word Sodom, what do you think about? I know. Today, this guy says, today. Yeah. And it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Take note, they were indifferent. In fact, it's interesting, it doesn't even mention why God brought the judgment upon them in Genesis, there in Scripture. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 19 that when Abraham's nephew Lot was living in the city of Sodom, that the homosexual violence was so bad, God says, that's it, I'm going to judge it. In Genesis 19:5, the Bible says, and the men of that city of Sodom, they came to Lot and they said to him, where are the men that came into your house that night? Bring them out, we want to rape them. We cannot say that God is not going to warn us about the days and the age in which we live in. There's a couple of slides, you guys. I know we're way over. A couple of slides. Come on, let's go with the slides. There you go. These are not gay Muslim jihadists with the pink things around there. This is an actual group that is nationwide, and notice this. It's a homosexual anarchist group that attacked the church last Sunday. While we were here, they attacked the church in Michigan. And I'm curious, how many of you saw this on normal network TV? Raise your hand. Come on. That's it? See, this was on some cable networks, but it was all over the World Wide Web. Why wasn't it reported? You guys, they went into the church, they disrupted the service in a radical way. And this happened in churches all across the United States last Sunday. You didn't know that? Interesting. Next slide. Near riot as angry Castro residents confront gay converting Christians. Did you see that last Friday night? Did you see what happened to the Christians in the Castro district up by San Francisco last Friday night? How many of you saw it? Raise your hand. Look around. 7, 10 of you saw it? Bibles were yanked out of Christians' hands, and some Christians were hit with their Bibles, pushed to the ground. The police had to come in and rescue the Christians out of an angry mob of violent homosexuals. Look at you. 10 of you saw it. Frank Pastore dedicated his program to it. Next slide. Doesn't that guy look like John Travolta on the left with blonde hair? That's actually Satan. I didn't know that. But this is Satan and Jesus. They're gay brothers. They're gay brothers, and it says there that Jesus was a homo at the top. Can you see that? This is all over the news. This is all over the place. Next slide. Sparks fly as gay activist mob swarms Christian. Jesus said, I'm going to come back. One of the warnings, it's going to be like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's amazing to me. And we end with this. Jesus, his kingdom, it's a kingdom of light. In 1 John 1:5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness, no, none at all. Revelation 20:11 tells us that when Jesus comes back, listen, the sun and the moon will flee from the presence of his face. Revelation 19:11 tells us that his eyes are like a flame of fire. Revelation 19:15 and 16 says that in that day, out of his mouth will go forth a sharp two-edged sword. He's coming back in righteousness and in holiness and in pure light. The Bible says when Jesus comes back, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, that it is the revelation of Christ, the unveiling. Jesus is talking about his second coming. You say, Jack, what does this mean to me? You're wondering if God's kingdom's near? Yes, it is. You can ask for him to come into your life now. Number two, is he not giving you warning signs? Only those who can see, though, can see the signs. Can you see the signs that the kingdom is near? Father, Lord, this is heavy stuff, pure, accurate, amazing, on our watch, in our lives. It's happening. Things warning us, announcing to us. And Father, we ask right now in Jesus' name that we would make very, very sure that we know you this morning, that our hearts are secure. Listen, everyone, Christian, rejoice in this. And or maybe someone, you're here and you're not sure. The hour is late. I think that's even significant. We got to get out of here. Second service is already coming. Time's up. And think about that spiritually. Time's up. You got to be watching. You got to be looking. And when we ask, how many of you have seen such things? Only a few hands. That means if you haven't seen them, then it's not a reality. You're living somewhere else. You're not aware. You don't get it. Maybe today you're not a Christian and you're saying, what? Jesus said, watch, look, be ready. When these things happen, I'm near. Today, right where you're at, if today you want to accept Jesus Christ, because the hour is late, in the foyer and the exit doors, there'll be pastors at those doors, and there's Bibles at those doors, and there's a little bag with a DVD about the life of Jesus Christ at those doors, and you go right there, and when you say, I'd like to have this bag, then listen, that pastor's going to look at you, and he's going to say, would you like to receive Jesus Christ today? You do that right now. It is an awesome moment. I pray Jesus comes back today. Are you ready? Let's all stand together as we close in this song. And if you need prayer for anything at all, there'll be pastors up front to pray with you.